With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hi everyone, welcome to For the Love of Paul McGrath podcast, a live edition for the day that's in it. And as things happen and gremlins come into the system just as we were about to go live, my light bulb in the office just blew. So this could get very, very dark very quickly. So if you just see me in cloaked in darkness, I'm actually after turning on a secondary screen here beside me so that I could get some sort of light shining on me so you could actually see that I'm here. Well, yeah, if anybody knows of an electrician, I might need one because I don't think that was just a bulb the way that it sparked. So anyway, the show must go on. The show must go on. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. But if anybody starts to see smoke behind me, let us know. Let us know in the comments or let us know on Twitter. Paddy, you're here as well.
Good evening.
Good evening to you. It is a good evening on a good Friday for anybody who celebrates. It is the start of a weekend full of football. And as we know, usually on Good Friday, there is a lot of football league games. And there were some real rockers today. I think it was there were some good games of football today. But we are here today to talk to you about the Big Boys League without, you know, disparaging anybody in the lower leagues. But we're here to talk to you about Aston Villa versus Fulham. Coming up on Sunday, and we will absolutely get to that. But we've been away for a while, and there's been a bit of news since we have been away, especially, I suppose, today. We had some really, really good news with Ezra Konsa signing his new four-year contract.
Yay.
Five-year contract.
Five-year contract, yeah.
Four-and-a-half-year contract, I suppose, really is what it was. But yeah. Absolutely great to get someone like that tied down. You know, there's some smart work being done, and it's something the Villa haven't done in a long time. You know, we won't be worrying about Bosman rulings for quite a while to come, especially with our big players. Who do you think is next, Paddy?
Well, he's got the bulk of them tied down now. I think might be the last we see until the summer to see who comes in and who goes out, and then no, the best of my knowledge, they're all on fairly long-term contracts. The newer players, probably not. The likes of Bertrand Traore and Maddie Cash. Well, I think Maddie Cash was on a four-year deal anyway. So, you know, they're all kind of locked in there. I suppose El Ghazi and Trezeguet, Neil Taylor, Elmo, they'd be the guys who were looking over their shoulder, I'd say, and see what's going to happen in the summer.
Yeah, I suppose realistically, looking at what we have in the first 11, just trying to rack my brains, it's probably only just sort out what the story is with Douglas Luiz at the moment, because obviously if Man City are going to exercise his buyback, you know, we probably will be finding out, should I say, within the next couple of weeks. I'm open to correction, and I'm sure that I'm probably wrong on this, but I think it expires on the 30th of June.
The 6th of June it expires.
Is it the 6th of June it expires? I wasn't sure. I thought it was the 30th of June. So, yeah, well, look, that's 10 weeks' time. So we're going to find that out pretty sharpish. And, you know, if they don't, we still have him under contract for a few more years. And I would imagine that Villa are probably waiting and to see what the crack is before they sign him up to the long deal. Would you say that's the case, Betty?
I would think so, yeah. I would imagine once everything is sorted and the 6th of June has passed, then he will end up getting a contract too. Yeah, well, we can only assume that. Like, he had a great start to the season. I know he hasn't been his self, I suppose, since Christmas or so. But, you know, he's still a very young man. I still have great hopes for him, and I do believe that they will tie him down.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, look, I think regardless of whatever happens this year or whatever way the rest of the season goes, the nucleus of the squad has been built. The leaders within the squad are putting their hands up, even in defeat, even in draws, even in this probably a bit more turbulent second half of the season. The leaders in the squad are putting their hands up, and that bodes well for Dean Smith going forward, and bodes well for the club, because if you add more leaders in on top of leaders, that's not a bad thing. Never has been in the history of sport. Never has been. So I'm liking it. I'm loving it. Ezri Konsa, I even forgot he was on that with that under-20s World Championship winning team. I forgot he was on that 3 years ago. Was it 2 or 3 years ago? But look, he's going to go down as one of the best defenders in the league this year. We've tied him down to a contract. Yeah. There were teams sniffing around him, as was muted. Now we've got him tied down. If they want to take him from us, they better fork up the wedge.
Bucks.
Yeah, you know, and we're looking at Harry Maguire money.
I'm going to make a fairly big prediction here now today. I predict that in years to come, when we look back on this guy, because there's so much potential, I think we'll be naming him in the ranks of Paul McGrath. I think he has the potential to be as good and as big a legend for us as Paul McGrath. He's very like him in so many ways, and I can only just wish him well, because he's such a likable guy. You know, everything about him just screams that he's an ideal man to have in your team. He's capable of coming up with a goal every now and again. You know, it's very hard to dribble by him. He's just rock solid. He really is rock solid. And you know, there's no doubt that he's going to have a huge part in our future.
Absolutely, yeah. Look, we won't put the pressure of him being like God on him.
The next God.
If he does turn out to be like God, well, absolutely. Look, that's we'll have paid pittance for him in the greater scheme of things. I just remembered, I forgot to turn on our names for those of you who don't know who we are. I need to get a producer. But there's a few people there watching. I just want to say thanks to there's actually a good few people watching. Sam John, thank you very much. Keep up the work, lads. Stumbled upon your pod a few weeks back and I'm hooked. Thanks very much, Sam. For that, very, very kind words. Also, KJ says, up the Villa. Thanks a million for watching, KJ. Really, really appreciate it. Mark Kelly's here. He says, evening, gents. It is a good evening. I'm just drinking some Guinness Clear.
I'm drinking Guinness with no head.
You're drinking Guinness with no head. For anybody who doesn't know what Guinness Clear is, just type it into YouTube and you'll see Brian O'Driscoll and Lawrence Delalio. It was a great advertising campaign for being a designated driver. And it's basically water in a Guinness glass. That's what it is. But it's there's some funny ads on it there as well. And Dean as well. Dean was a fountain of knowledge, sending us in information. I think it was about Mark Draper. The last time we did a podcast. Dean's back again. Great to see you, and happy Easter to you as well, Dean. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast as well. As Sam has just said there, the Konsa is a young consummate professional. He obviously learned so much from his mistakes last season. The only way is up. That's actually that is probably the best thing that he's done. It's not been the fact he hasn't been dribbled past this year, that he's the top defender outside of a top six squad or anything like that. But what it is the quickness of learning and the clarity of thought that he now has in such a young body. He's only just gone 23 from what I remember as well, you know. So and it was interesting, Paddy, when you said that he has that trajectory about him to be that via Paul McGrath type of defender, whether he's revered in the same way. I think we would say that more so about him than Mings because of the fact that he's 23 and he could have 10 years of the Villa, whereas you know, Mings might have another five in him, and that's cool too. Mings could win us it if we win two league cups because of Mings because of Mings' brilliant defense. That's fantastic as well. And this isn't pitting the two against the other.
No, I suppose it's really just the longevity. I wasn't suggesting that either. I just believe that there's a lot of similarities. You know, he's a very quiet guy. He's a very humble guy. You can see him almost blushing like Paul McGrath used to when he was getting his plaudits. So,
yeah.
You know, long may it continue that he's pulling out performances like he is. I think he's still only been dribbled past once this season. So, you know, that's some statistic with 10 games to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of those 10 games, Paddy, is going to be against Fulham on this Sunday. We do play Fulham, and you know, it's been quite up until today. It was quite I'm frozen there with a very awful looking face to me. But it was a very, very quiet international break for Aston Villa. You know, we didn't have a ton of people that were away. John McGinn, of course, turned into Lionel Messi when he put on the Scottish shirt, which is great to see, scoring two goals. Fantastic for him.
Three goals.
Three goals. Yeah, you're right. Three goals it was. The under-23s played in the Premier League 2 today, and Ken Hayden-Kessler again came up with goods with two more goals, which was great to see from him. But we did have some news in that where Wesley was taken off with a precaution. I know there was a lot of stuff going around on the internet about him after redoing his knee again. I think that's unfair to say at this moment in time. Taken off for precautionary reasons. Here in this podcast, we're not going to speculate as to what happened. We're going to wait and find out from the club themselves.
He played 45 minutes at probably a lesser pace game during lockdown. You know, as somebody who's come back from a long injury myself, I know it takes a bit of time for the adjustment of all that turning and twisting. You know, it is going to seize up from time to time, and it will take time for it to even out for him. But I'm sure it's fine. The club said it was a precaution, so I'm not particularly worried about it. I would like to see him back this season. I would like to see him get some game time. So please God, it won't be too long before we see him again.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead. Yeah, I could have
questioned. Just on the under-23s. I had kind of written them off a few weeks ago. They're only 1 point off the playoffs there now. I think it's important. Well, I would really like them to get up into the first division or the Premier Division or whatever it's called. But you know, they're in the second tier at the moment. I think it'd be good for our fringe players if we could get up and play at that higher level and really test them. For those that don't go out on loan next season, I think it would be important to play at that level, and we'll keep them up to a similar match speed. But obviously, it would be a step up to the Premier League, but it will be a higher pace game, and it will adjust them better to Premier League appearance. If they do get some Premier League appearances, they should be well able to compete. But there's some brilliant players in there. You know, Kane Hayden-Kessler is just really exciting in us.
Himself and McGinn up front against Fulham. That's what I say. They can't stop scoring goals all of a sudden. It's great.
Yeah, young Ramsey's playing very well. Louis Barry got another goal today, which is great to see. I know it was a penalty, but still, he's off the mark. I didn't see any of the game today, which is unfortunate because I've seen the last few games and they've been a bit mediocre and defended poorly. So it was refreshing to see that they won 4-0 today.
Yeah, it's and 4-0 against a decent Wolves team as well. You know, you know, Wolves have been competitive for a couple of years in that league as well. So it's good to see. It's always good to get one over on our neighbours. As we always say in this podcast, it's not a derby. They may be our neighbours, but it's not a derby. That's the way we're going to put it. That's the diplomatic way we're going to put it. But In the senior ranks, we are playing a team that certainly can never be called our neighbours. And probably, even though they did beat us in that playoff final, I don't think we could ever really label them as a rival of ours either in Fulham. Resurgent, I think, is probably the best way to describe Fulham at the moment. From where they were when we played them at the start of the season. Number one, we want to have Connor Horan in there pulling the strings like we did against them at the start of the season. That was actually the one and only time the two of us have ever seen each other in real life in 3D. That's the only ever time we've ever seen each other, would you believe? Because we started really properly kind of together on the podcast. The podcast started in August 2019, and then Paddy properly came on board in February 2020, and then of course the world couldn't cope with how good the podcast was. Isn't that what it is?
it's all our fault,
sorry lads. So we got to see each other because our lockdown was curtailed for a period of time then, just at the start of the season. It was great, but we won comfortably and handily that day against the team that were playing a completely different system with a completely different level of football that we have that we've seen them play as well. So it's going to be an interesting game this Sunday. I will start with Fulham, Paddy. Any players in the Fulham team that kind of really stand out for you that have really taken the mantle and kind of driven that team onwards?
Well, I think Luckman and Bobby Reid, Cordoba Reid, giving his full title. I really like them. They've great attacking presence down the wing. I'm looking forward. I haven't seen him yet. Is Josh Maja, who many people would know for his fame on Sunderland Till I Die. He was subject to a big transfer move, and I've been kind of keeping an eye out for him, and then he appeared in the January transfer window, and you know, he looked like a really good player with Sunderland. I know it was a big step up, but they have him on loan, and you know he hasn't set the world alight just yet, but he's a kind of fox in the box kind of player, so we need to be defending a bit higher to keep him out of the goals. Mm.
Yeah, he nice little player. Went off to Bordeaux, if I'm not mistaken, and has moved from Bordeaux back into the Premier League again, or back into English football, I suppose, so to say. Very, very mobile player as well up there, alongside Mitrovic, and I think that gives them something up there. Cordova Reid has probably they did play a three at the back. They were playing kind of almost a 3-4-3 kind of at the start of the season, and now they've kind of reverted back to more or less a flat 4-4-2, which. Yeah. I like Scott Parker as a manager. I always liked him as a player. I just thought there was never any shite about him, if you know what I mean. I think he comes across as a guy who loves football. Yeah, he might rub people up the wrong way because he's maybe a bit serious. But I can never say a bad word about him. I would have loved him to play for Aston Villa for a lot of his career as well because he was just a flaking player when he got in there. He's just an honest player, but he's transitioned him into a flat 4-4-2 and with Mitrovic and Maja up front.
It'll actually be very interesting to see because he has been playing Cavaliero, is that his name?
Yes, as
the other striker. Mitrovic hasn't really got a look in this season, and he's a player that's hurt us in the past, even just with his hold up play and bringing other guys into it. And I think he scored a couple against us in one game when we were in the Championship. So I, for one, don't want to see him on Sunday. There's also players there like Loftus-Cheek is around, Anthony Robinson, who seems to offer a lot going forward. I know his crossing doesn't seem to be too great, but you know, he adds that extra attacking option if he is playing. If I was betting on it, I'm going to bet that Fulham get out of where they are. They're looking really strong. They seem to be coming together at the right time, and I'd be really worried if I was a Newcastle fan.
That's a fair point, absolutely fair point. And before I suppose we look at that right there, their plight to get out of the league, which hopefully will start after this Sunday, because I think we would all love a win for Aston Villa at the moment. I also think that there's going to be a very interesting player that will be playing for them. I think that regardless of whether Fulham do stay up or not, I think we should interest Aston Villa in the coming transfer window. And that's Anguissa, the defensive midfielder, a Cameroonian player. And he's come in there. He has really been, you know, he's been at Fulham for the last almost, I think it's just 3 years, just over 3 years. And he has been a real rock for them, in fairness. I think he went out on loan last year, but he's a big boy. He's 6 foot, a defensive midfielder in there. He's only 25, and he seems to have found his feet in the Premier League this year and is kind of making them tick, so to say, in that position. A nice kind of destroyer type in there. And I think that, look, if we do have our Captain Jack back, I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on whether Anguissa is going to be covering over on that side of the field, which I would imagine he would, because when you look at their two wingers, they ain't going to get too much of that much defensive help from De Cordova Reid or from Adamola Luckman. And if you're Kenny Tete over there on the right hand side, who Jack Grealish absolutely tore apart. Tete looked good, but he just couldn't. He couldn't stay anywhere near Jack Grealish in that game. It's going to be an interesting one because their two centre halves as well are okay. I'm going to say they're okay.
Yeah.
They're not brilliant. And I think if I remember rightly, and I'm open to correction on this, that Tete played as a kind of a left centre or right centre back in a back three against us the first day. 100% open to correction there. Just from
I think
memory.
You could be right there. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's where we kind of caught the brakes against Fulham as well. But it's going to be, I'm looking forward to this game. I really am. And I think that we have, it seems silly to say that we have a good chance against the team in 18th, because we need to have a good chance against this team because our run-in is pretty tough. So we need to be beating Fulham at the weekend to make sure that we're...
Like I think of our 10 games, there's three games that we really should win, and this is one of them. The rest, the other seven are going to be really tough games from what I can see. We've got to play Everton twice. Like there's some really, like we don't know what it's like to play Everton. We haven't played them yet, and it's the end of March, it's April now. Jesus, nuts. So we've got a tough enough run in. So those three games that we earmarked, I think on the last podcast, are the ones that we need to be getting 3 points from. And I fully expect us to get 3 points, but there'll be a hard fought 3 points on Sunday.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Before we go and look at how Aston Villa are going to set up, first of all, if you are watching this on YouTube, absolutely really appreciate it if you subscribe to us on YouTube. Also, if you're listening to the podcast version of this, we absolutely love you listening to the podcast version as well. Our faces aren't made for YouTube. This is just an easier thing for us to do today. So if you are listening to the podcast version, or even if you want to help us out in both ways, please subscribe to the podcast version as well. It costs nothing to do. It's very handy. It helps us out in the long run. So we would really, really appreciate that. A couple of comments for the guys there that are coming in. Patrick has said it would be good to see McGinn pushed up a little further forward for Aston Villa. I think that might be something we might be talking about when it comes to team selection.
Yeah.
Dean has said that there's talks of a new contract for Heaton. The Steer playing goal today. He loves him. And get Super John higher up the field. Showed us what we were missing from him playing so deep. That is an interesting one with a new contract from Heaton. I think Tom Heaton is probably of the opinion that, you know, this isn't a bad place for him to be, even behind Emi Martinez. Mm-hmm. Maybe it could just be a contract to kind of increase his value, because it's always good to have a good second goalkeeper. The days of being a Stuart Taylor or a Richard Wright as being a backup goalkeeper and costing nothing are kind of gone. All the big teams have decent backup goalkeepers, and they're the most important. It's the most important position on the field when you need one. So I'm all for signing Heaton up to a new contract as well, if needs be.
Absolutely.
Sam said that Mitrovic has been found out by VAR, which is a very good point as well. His particular brand of shithousery is hard to enact under close scrutiny. As long as Mings can keep his head, I'd rather him than any other. Absolutely. You know, and that's a fair point as well, because Mitrovic is Bovril, you know, or he's Marmite. He's great when he's on your team, and you hate him when he's not, you know. So that is a good point. And thanks very much, Shane, for tuning in as well. He says, good job, guys. And thank you very much for joining us today. So let's take a look at Aston Villa's team. I had, I'm not going to be able to share it. I'm so sorry. So we're just going to go down through it here. I had this very, very fancy team picker thing that I was going to show up, but apologies, it seems to have crashed in me just now. We'll have it for the next game. It's just technical difficulties after technical difficulties today, so apologies about that. So, Paddy, we've had 2 weeks to think about how the hell do we want this team to line out. Looks like we're going to have a clean bill of health, bar, save for Wesley, who is, as we mentioned, making his way back to fitness, taking off for precautionary reasons, and Courtney House, who hasn't got out in the field. But we have... It looks like all the horses are ready to run.
Yeah. And I didn't envisage Wesley would have anything to do with Sunday being playing today. Yeah, so he's going to need some recovery time. There's two ways of looking at this. We spoke before the last podcast about playing Nakamba and Luis behind McGinn. I think that's the elephant in the room now after watching. I watched both Scotland's qualifiers over the last week, and while you know they were playing relative minnows the other night when he scored the two goals, it's still international football. We've seen some ridiculous results in the last few weeks, so anything is possible. But he took his goals well. Did a great header the other night, overhead kick last week against a decent opposition in Austria. And the one thing that impressed me about him was, and I think I spoke to you, I don't think you were watching England, were you? And I was watching Scotland, I can't remember. And I messaged you and said, the positioning that John McGinn is getting into when they have the ball was incredible. He was always an option to pick out on the edge of the box. And I think, you know, we've tried Barkley there, he probably will go with same again. That's just my opinion. But I would love to see McGinn get a chance in that more advanced position to show us what he can do, and to see if there, you know, if we see the effervescent John McGinn doing that, because it when you have him there, he has such energy that when we lose the ball, he will do the work back and get it and put in a tackle as well. So that's probably what you don't get from Ross Barkley that you will get from John McGinn. So it's just an added extra that I can see. And, you know, he's great chemistry with Jack Grealish. They're really, really good mates. William Hill did a great video, actually, during the week. If you get a chance, have a look at their Twitter. It's very funny. With Jack and John McGinn. And the two of them are just, they're like, it's like a big bromance between the two of them. So I that's genuinely how I'd like to see us. Like, it's here and there what's going to happen on the wing. If Jack starts, if he comes on as a sub, that changes Jack's everything. There. I think Jack is starting. Yeah, I think we'll see Jack on the left, Bertie on the right, and Ollie Watkins through the middle. The back five, including the goalkeeper, picks itself. But I'd love to see Nakamba and Luis, which we haven't seen at all, put them in there, shore up that midfield, and let the front four, you know, go at it. And, you know, it would be very interesting to see, but, you know, knowing Dean Smith the way we are, I think it will be fairly similar to what we're used to. It'll be McGinn in front of Luis and then another through the middle.
Yes, I woke up this morning with the exact same mindset as you, that I think that we'll have McGinn in front of Luis, another, whether it be Barkley, whether it be this is a plum game, I think, for him to bring in Jacob Ramsey. Lest we forget Morgan Sanson, because Sanson has carried some favour with Dean Smith recently as well, which is fantastic. And it's to be expected that he would be eased into this game. You know, he's even said it himself that the game is a bit faster at this league than he was expecting it to be. But he's looked really good. Like, let's not forget that. He's looked really good for 20 minutes at the end of a game. He is a super, super person to have to bring in at the moment, provided that we are not chasing a game, because as we know, this team isn't built to chase games. It's almost irrefutable fact, I think, at this stage. We haven't chased a game yet this year. So I don't expect us to start doing it now.
I think we've only come behind once all season, is that correct?
I can't even think of who that was against.
I think it was around Christmas time, I think. Just before Christmas. I could be wrong. But yeah, you're right. We're not built for coming from behind, and that's a job for the summer, I think. There'll be a lot of work done on that in pre-season, and depending on who comes in, there'll be hopefully a few changes in personnel.
Yeah. I think Barkley gets a start. I think he probably will.
And you know, it's between himself and Sanson in that position. Like, I've given you what I would do, because I think McGinn deserves it on his international exploits. I think I would imagine he's been in Dean Smith's office either today or yesterday going, come on, Gaffer, give me a chance to do this.
The good point there as well as Paddy is that he's been with the club. He's been with the team for the last 2 weeks. So game planning with him in there is like, this is what he needed. He needed 2 weeks of solid work with Dean Smith and with the squad to get in there without games coming thick and fast, because we were playing a lot of games. Yes, we went on a run where we had only like one game a week, but we were playing Wednesday nights that we couldn't win. We were playing Sunday nights that we could win. Now we've had 2 weeks to sit down and regroup. We should, and I know the Fulham have had a lot of time to sit in the long grass as well. We really should have been 2 weeks game planning for this. We have the horses to go out and blow Fulham away and have a really good performance. I am expecting the full shebang on Sunday. And you know me, I'm okay with, listen, 1-0 win and we'll take the 3 points and we run away. Usually, I'm expecting bells and whistles, full on your vision stuff is what I'm expecting on Sunday. I want all the sparkles, all the fireworks, everything, because I think we're capable of it. And I think that it would go a long way to, first of all, announcing that Grealish is back in the team and that people should be worried about us again for our run-in. But also what it would do is it would go a long way to put us in a good space to have a run-in so that we can hit the ground running next year on a positive note with some big victories over the course of the run-in, as I said, before we get to the off-season. So start doesn't mean to continue now in the final, whatever it is, and I'm going to say the quarter of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing to think there's still 10 games. You know, I think I share your view there. I think this is the capability of being a springboard game for us. I think if we go and put on a show on Sunday, get a good result, bear in mind that we've got to play Liverpool away and Man City at home next. There's a lot of tough games in there, as we know. We've Man United, we've Everton twice. So this could be the springboard to push us on through these tough games. To give the players a bit of confidence, and you know, I won't accept anything less than 3 points on Sunday, and I actually don't care if it's a 1-0 and hits off someone's arse in the 90th minute. If it's a good performance and we get the 3 points, that's all that matters.
I would love nothing more than to see November or to see October Ross Barkley come out, much and all as a thumping as we've given him, you know. But I would love nothing more than November Ross Barkley to come out and November Jack Grealish to come out, and for Villa to be 2-0 up at halftime, bring on El Ghazi, and he scores two penalties in the last minute. So if we have September, October, November Jack Grealish, we have October Barkley, and we have December El Ghazi, I tell you something, it'll be a fun game to watch. And I think we can do. Look, we are. It's okay to be a streaky team after what happened last year. I just want to see us maybe put something together and show more of an identity in attack for the last 8 games, the last 10 games of the season. That's really what I'm... Mm. That's my wish more so than anything else. But I would be happy with a 1-0 win. I don't expect us to go out and blow the doors. Like I know I said that we could go out and have fireworks in this game, but, you know, I want a good performance. If we play like Burnley at home and have 27 shots and win 1-0, I'd be absolutely delighted. I just want to see coherency. I want to see game plan. I want to see players playing with smiles on their faces. And I want to see things go right for the team in the transitions through the different lines of the field. If we only score one goal, so be it. But as long as it's the one goal that wins the game for us, that's what I would like. Yeah. So I share your same sentiment in that as well. A couple of things that the lads were saying there in live chat as well is Shane says that he would love us to sign James Ward-Prowse in the summer. What do you think, guys? He's a great set piece taker. That's a bit better than Connor in open play. He would love an opinion.
I'll take that one. I'm not a big fan of James Ward-Prowse as a player. I think he has an exceptional set piece in him. Obviously, we've been on the receiving end of it. But I actually don't think he would offer much more than Conor Horan. That's just my opinion. We will have an option to do something with Conor when he comes back in the summer, because he's still got another year left in his contract. So for me, I think it probably wouldn't be good money spent there.
My view on him
is international.
well, my view on him there is he's done really nothing since our game. And I think I'm not going to say that we've broken him or anything like that, but like, they played him at right back against us the last day. You could say that's versatility. I think he's a man. I think he's a man without a true position. If he did come into our team, I don't think he would be able to hold down that central midfield position. Do you play him wide right? I guess you could try him out wide right. He's an interesting player. I'm gonna come down the side of, I really haven't seen a whole pile of him to be able to say for certain, bar the wonderful free kicks that he's had, to say for certain. Then I suppose when you look at the body side of things, and with financial fair play, if you guys haven't seen the video we did on financial fair play, with it being relaxed to some degree, which hasn't been announced yet, it's not going to be abolished, but it's going to be relaxed to some sort of a degree. It would be interesting to see there. Like, you're going to want to have to shift 50 million into a wheelbarrow for him, because they're not going to let him go on the cheap.
No. I think he'd be way overpriced for what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Any time I've watched Southampton and he appears on the ball, you're nearly going, oh, I forgot he was playing. He just doesn't get on the ball enough for me. I'm sure not everybody will agree with that sentiment. But, you know, I had this conversation recently with a friend of mine who, funnily enough, is a Southampton fan. And he agreed with me, you know, that Conor Horan offers just as much. So I think Shane just put that question there because he knew I had already loaded.
You're loaded for Conor Horan. We are a pro Conor podcast here. Dean has said that, going back to when we were mentioning about our setup, Marvis is the one to run, to jockey, and to pass simple. He can do that next to Dougie. McGinn plays the balls over the top, but Dougie can do that. McGinn's goals in the Championship were so good, such as Hillsborough away, Man United away as well. We need a 97-98 John Gregory end of season finish, which is possible, and we've played better against the top teams. That's a very good point as well. You know, we have obviously played better against the top teams so far. If we can draw our way out of the season with some really good draws and good defensive performances and stifle some very good attacking teams, well then, yeah, that's they're the type of performances I think that Dean Smith would be looking for. Absolutely. McGinn is a throwback. He needs to play like a pre-2000s Keane, Robson, Platt, Taylor midfielder would. We get forward, get back, let the work rate make up for the freedom from the positional discipline. And that's a really interesting piece, Rich. I actually like that as well, because when you were saying that you'd like to see Marvellous Nakamba and Douglas Luiz in the middle of midfield with McGinn up front, McGinn isn't going to be able to stop himself from hearing back. He's not going to be able to stop himself. He actually even referred to himself as being more of a marathon runner. In that William Hill interview he did with Jack Grealish, he said that Jack Grealish is encouraged to be a sprinter, and that McGinn is encouraged to be a marathon runner around the field. And that was some good insight from him as well. He's a funny man as well. That was a really, really good piece. But you're right. I think you're right there, as Rich. He is a bit like an Ian Taylor, maybe even more of a David Platt, I think. But we haven't seen him further forward in two seasons. The last time he was further forward, I did a piece on him on fortheloveofpaulmcgrath.com as well. You'll be able to find it there under the blog section. I did a piece on the three different positions that he's played since he's came to the club, and we just haven't seen him further forward, you know, since he's been here. So that is a good point. Shane says, fair enough, lads. Thanks for the opinions. Yeah, as I say, I would be more for James Ward-Prowse. I haven't really seen him enough other than the two games we played with him this season. And I just don't notice he fit into this midfield. Patrick says, I think biggest issue with Connor is his engine. Good player, but seems to run out of it. And that is absolutely fair, Patrick.
Ward-Prowse is similar. As I said, he goes missing for too long a period in a game. And you know, I think that's Connor's biggest issue too, that his engine doesn't get him beyond an hour, 70 minutes tops, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And you just feel like he's gassed. Now, he's still only, what's he, 30 years of age? You know, there is a small bit of a window there if he can readjust his game, if he can do some work in the preseason. It's not for everybody. Not everybody's tank can take it, but we'll see during the off season, no doubt.
Yeah, let's see.
Depending on how he finishes with Swansea, Swansea could come in with a bid that's too good to refuse. Yeah. If they go up, so time will tell.
The Irish Pirlo, that's what he could be. He could drop back into that beautiful role in between, in front of the back four, and just ping passes around. And all he needs to do, grows his hair a small bit longer, starts a vineyard in the south of Cork, down in the south of Ireland, down there.
He even looks Italian.
Kind of. I don't know. He does look fairly Cork to me, to be honest with you.
I think he does.
That stare into the distance he gives you, you can nearly cut yourself off when it's so sharp at times. I suppose, Paddy, I'm going to hold your feet to the fire here. Give me a prediction. What are you going to call it? What's the game going to be? What's the score going to be on Sunday?
I think after a cagey, maybe 55, 60 minutes, we'll score and we'll just hang on with that, and it'll be 1-0, and I think it'll be a solid enough performance. They'll keep it tight. They'll deploy Jack to run amok, hopefully. And, you know, I'm sure we'll score. Depending on which, whoever he decides to play up top. And plus, you know, there's goals from the wing for them. So there's a lot to consider. But I'm going for 1-0, and I'd be happy enough at 1-0, and we'll get Ollie Watkins off the mark again following his goal for England.
I'm going to go 2-0. And I've absolutely nothing to back it up. Just have a gut feeling. 2-0. Like, the whole statistical analysis of it goes against me. Fulham are undefeated. They haven't lost in their last 8 away matches. I think there's a statistic as well out there that there've been, I think it's under 1.5 or under 2.5 goals in 8 of the last 9 away games that Fulham have played in, and that there's been under 2.5 goals in something like 6 or 7 of the last. Aston Villa have scored under 2.5 goals in their 6 or 7 of their last away games as well, which is, should be an easy one to go back on. I think Villa have had 2 weeks to focus on this. I think Jack Grealish has been in training for those 2 weeks. We've only really been without McGinn in that midfield. Trying to think as well. I think it's just McGinn and Bertie were the two. Mings has obviously been away on international duty. Everybody else has more or less been at home. I think that's a great thing for Aston Villa Football Club and for Dean Smith to be able to implement his plan. 2-0 win for Aston Villa. I'm going to take that one to the bank with absolutely nothing to back it up other than excellent.
But above all else, we need 3 points. I don't care how we get them. Just get the 3 points and try and push on for these last 10 games. And we will have surprises. You know, we expect to win we earmarked 3, didn't we? There was West Brom, was Newcastle in there? We played them twice,
We've played Newcastle twice.
Yeah.
We've Spurs and Everton. We've Everton to play twice.
Everton twice.
Man City,
Liverpool. Crystal Palace was the other game that I had earmarked for the 3 points. Those 3 wins would bring us to 50 points, and anything above that was a bonus. Because, you know, you've named all them teams, and then we've Spurs and Chelsea last. So there's a lot of football in there. I think if we can pick up them 3 wins, I think we'll definitely pick a scalp there. You might even pick 2. And, you know, I think 56 points and maybe add another draw into it would be fantastic. But I think I'd be happy with 50 points.
Once again, I think if we were to finish on, I think if it's over 51 or 52 points, I think it would be our fourth highest finish in the last 20 years in the Premier League.
Yeah.
There we go. That's where we are, guys. That's exactly where we are. Although 4 of those years were out of the Premier League, or 3 of those years were out of the Premier League as well. Anyway, Anyway. Here's to a great game on Sunday, as I try and shed a small bit more light in the situation. Here's to a great game on Sunday. Thanks to everybody for everything you do for the podcast. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Just even listening to us, our rants and our ravings. You know, we don't have all the answers, but we'll try and talk our way around into an opinion somewhere or another. And we thank you guys so much for listening or watching, whichever way you like to consume the podcast. As I say, we would really appreciate it if you subscribe to any podcast providers or anything like that. Just give us a little subscription there, and that as well, as say, cost nothing. Same on YouTube as well. If you watch us on YouTube, just click the subscribe button, click the little bell. We're going to be doing a small bit more live stuff, but thanks so much to everybody for everything that you do for the podcast as it is. You can follow Paddy on @VillaPaddy. You can follow me on @LoveMcGrawPod. And all that's really left to say is here's to a great win, hopefully, on Sunday against Fulham, and up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.